He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday, Two for Tuesday. It is December the 16th. What do we have? 7, 8 shopping days until Christmas. This is the Best Stocks Now show. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst and certified financial planner. And we have a little bit of a downdraft. Well, now we've got the NASDAQ going positive all of a sudden here. The NASDAQ is up 26 points right now to 23,084. It's got 2 weeks left to get back to that all-time high that it set about a month ago before our Fed started talking hawkish. The S&P is down 23 points right now, 6,793. The Dow is down 102 points. It hit a fresh new high on last Friday. The Dow's at 48,314. The Russell 2000 just went positive. It's up a few points. Bitcoin remains under pressure, you know, and I think that is definitely impacting the stock market, the equities market. There's a huge confidence crisis in Bitcoin right now, but maybe it will find its support and its sea legs down here. It's all the way down to 87,073 after visiting 125,000, maybe what, 2 months ago, something like that. Gold is off to a good start again today. It's been really the consistent performer, it and silver. Gold is up 55 basis points right now to 43.59. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a fee-based only nationwide financial planning and money management firm, registered investment advisory. And as I said, we're off to a little bit of a slow start on the market, although the NASDAQ did just go positive. We were up this morning in the pre-market, and then we had kind of a weak jobs report, which we'll get to here in a bit.
Yeah, got some interesting numbers on that, just in terms
of revisions
and some other stuff. So it's weird that the data comes out on Tuesday. I'm not used to a federal jobs number coming out on Tuesday. It's usually a Friday thing.
And it was a weak day in the market yesterday overall. The sell-off in the AI stocks continued for its second straight day. It was kind of set off by the you had Oracle last Thursday with the softer-than-expected earnings report. You had Broadcom on Friday, which had a good earnings report, but they noted that their margins were going to compress a little bit, their gross margins, which I didn't think was that big of a deal, but the market did, and it was down about 11% on Friday, and it kind of took all the AI stocks with it. And then yesterday there was some more selling in the AI and in Broadcom. Broadcom's up a little bit today. It's getting the upgrades are starting to come into it right now. The crypto stocks very weak yesterday. Quantum stocks, things like that, very, very weak right now. Gold, however, was up again. Bitcoin got cleared down to 85,000 yesterday.
When you're into the day note yesterday, you mentioned how weak the quantum names are, and it's hard to see it's hard to see those speculative names, particularly the longer duration names, come back with Bitcoin, at where it is. Because to me,
it's a confidence crisis. Yes, it's a confidence crisis in the speculative end of the market, and add to that, the 10-year drifting up to 4.19%, that hits the longer-term Treasury bonds and the longer-term stocks the hardest. And that's where we are this morning, 4.19 on the 10-year, which is too high. We begin the day with the forward PE of the S&P 500 at 22.47. As we've said here recently, 23 has been kind of a ceiling here over the last 5 years. Doesn't mean we can't get above that, but it is something to grapple with for sure. You know, Wall Street did end lower. We do have a busy week this week of reports, a backlog of reports. We had the government shut down for, I don't know, 2 months, 6 weeks. I don't even remember how long it was. I didn't really miss them that much, but it was down.
The longest one, that's all we know.
Yes.
It's the longest one in history,
yes.
Right, I believe.
And we have had a jobs report. So is that the non-farm payrolls that came out today?
Yeah, so we got November. Essentially, it was November non-farm payrolls, which, like I said, normally these things come out on Friday. And of
yes.
course, as it comes across this morning, it was interesting because you had 64,000 growth in November, decent there. It was expected to be 40K added. The interesting thing was, as always, is kind of the revisions in the previous months. So, of course, October. Lost 105,000 jobs now. Most of those being, I believe, 162,000 of those were in the government sector, which makes sense because of the shutdown that you just
yes.
referenced. And in September, initially, they thought we had 119,000 added. Instead, it was 108,000 added. So it's one of these kind of almost Goldilocks numbers, right? Not too hot, not too cold. So, you know, those numbers were particularly could even warrant, reasoning for a 25 basis point cut at the next meeting. Who knows?
Well, you know, when you get a chance here, take a look at the probabilities market, Calshi, and what are the odds right now for a rate cut in January?
You got me on the Calshi now. I've been playing. I got the app on my
that.
Phone just to take a look at it, and it's pretty interesting. So.
Yes, and we do have a couple of big earnings reports tomorrow. Will be the biggest one of the week in Micron. Micron, you know, is definitely maybe in the top five or six chip stocks out there right now, especially the sweet spot that it's sitting in right now with the memory space. You've got a lot of upgrades on Micron recently. Deutsche Bank just raised the price target to 280 on the stock. We continue to own it. A couple of Seeking Alpha contributors continue to upgrade it to a strong buy. They're in a sweet spot right now that doesn't always last because it is a commodity-based product that they sell in flash memory. But the demand right now and the supply, there's a big difference between the supply and the demand that's driven prices up way high, sky high. And that's helping Micron. Then on Thursday, we'll get FedEx. On Friday, we'll go cruising with Carnival. NASDAQ seeks an SEC nod for round-the-clock trading. And I've already designated Barry. He's going to cover the graveyard
hours
and do the trading from 12 p.m. to 8 a.m., and then I'll take over after that. I don't know. Do we really need this? Well, the issue you have, in a way, there is around-the-clock trading on a lot of things right now. The question is, the problem is the volume. Okay, if I want to sell 500,000 shares of a stock, I've got to have some volume to sell that, and I just don't think that's going to be there at 3 a.m. And, you know, it will put pressure on you if news breaks on something after the 4 o'clock close. Are you going to get up at 9 p.m. and sell your block of stock? Or, you know, not a good idea, but it's going to happen, I think.
Oh, it's definitely, I mean, it sounds like it's going to be a 23-hour. I saw, the 1 hour, but you got to do some software updates, I would imagine. But you know, to me, it's what's the execution like, right? I mean, I can wake up at 2 a.m. and buy Bitcoin, right? Is that the best price at that particular time? I don't know what the volume is at 2 a.m. Eastern time for Bitcoin. And, you know, so when you have these, you know, you could have some of these weird mispricing time frames, right, where maybe you've got some low volume at, 3 a.m. When, and who knows, you've got some low volume, you get some weird pricing, next thing you know, you're triggering, stop losses and other things that may, theoretically may have never been triggered. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how they put the parameters of best execution.
We've got trading junkies that listen to us, and they're all excited about this. Bring it on, baby. I remember the futures traders, that I knew over the years. They were always in the office like at 2 a.m. when the Asian markets were opening.
Oh, yeah.
I never wanted to be a futures trader. Now, when we come back, wow, this crypto thing, it's bad, and it is impacting and infecting the equities market. We'll take a look at a chart of Bitcoin. Obviously, I have never been a fan of Bitcoin, and right now it is wobbling. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Let's just take a look here. Bitcoin has got support where it's at right now. I'm looking at the Grayscale Bitcoin Trust, which has been around the longest. So it has the longest track record. But Bitcoin has a death cross where the 50-day has crossed below the 200-day moving average. That support level's at about 80,000, and right now it's headed back, in that direction. So we'll just have to see. But, look, I mean, I said when we went to, when I went to the ring the bell up in NASDAQ, I think the Bitcoin guys are getting their bell rung because they, for the most part, everybody that I was there with, a lot of younger guys than me, which isn't saying much these days in our industry, but these guys were in their 30s, right? They hadn't been around in the stock market for 2.5 decades, and their top pick to the man, every one of them was Bitcoin, and my top pick for the year, top conviction pick, was Palantir. And Bitcoin is negative now for the year. I just don't know what you hang your hat on there with Bitcoin. And, I get hate mail. I get absolute hate mail for being an anti-Bitcoin guy. But, now you're getting into forced sales on Bitcoin. What do I mean by that? Well, you're hitting sell stops and you're hitting margin calls and things like that. So, until all of that clears up, but I don't know how long it's going to continue. But you had 584 million in liquidations of crypto positions on Monday alone. Bitcoin and Ether led the wipeout, posting 174 million and 189 million in liquidations, respectively, according to CoinDesk. It is what it is. And you go to the Coinbase stock and MicroStrategy and all the different crypto-related stocks, and they're getting slammed too. Talking about getting slammed, oil's at $55 a barrel, and there goes your theory of, oh, you should have exposure to every sector in the market. We have not had any exposure other than one or two stocks all year long in the oil and gas sector. It continues to be a very weak sector. Why have any exposure in a sector where the lifeblood is the price of crude oil, which is now at $55 a barrel? I think the average break-even price is somewhere in that range, 55, 56, 57. That's how much it costs to get out of the ground and to the refineries. So it has not been a good year for the energy stocks. What will it take? Well, and also the peace talk, well, whether they ever reach that between Ukraine and Russia, is another factor. But obviously the demand is the biggest factor. And right now the demand supply is matched at about $55, $56 per barrel. That's for the light sweet crude, Texas crude. And that is slamming the oil stocks. Ford shifts its EV strategy. They're going to take a $19.5 billion write-down and drop their current Ford Lightning production. As they say, EVs are just not selling. That's what Ford CEO Jim Farley said on an interview on CNBC. He says, you know, at the end of the day, we have to listen to the customer.
That's a huge write-down.
That's a huge write-down. And, you know, we heard it. When we went to Bloomfield Hills, Michigan, and talked to all those folks over a couple days, we heard it the first time we went, the second time we went. They don't like them in Michigan. They don't want them. You know, these companies were kind of being forced. They had to sell because at one point in time, the Biden administration had a 2030 date where we would be all electric vehicles. So they had to move in that direction. And now they're pulling back. GM's been hitting new highs here recently, I will say. That's unusual for a big, a legacy car auto manufacturer. The basic reason for the big write-off and the pullback in the production of these cars is the customer does not want them. And if you're sitting on a Ford Lightning, we're sitting on an all-electric SUV, the values of those have plummeted, absolutely plummeted, because nobody wants them. The market is very thin. Tesla? Well, there's a little bit more to Tesla than just being an electric vehicle. There's a bit of a status symbol there. Tesla stock is hitting new highs. It hit a new all-time high yesterday. But at the end of the day, the EV vehicle, which we were being kind of forced into, I think California still has their mandate. I don't know where that stands right now, of being an all-electric state. A lot of countries in Germany, or I mean in Europe, are still very much have the EV goals and whatnot. But the customer, given the choice, they don't want an EV car. How about a stock? I was surprised to see this. Not in a way I was, but at the same time I kind of knew this. This department store stock has outperformed NVIDIA, Tesla, Broadcom, and Bitcoin over the last 5 years. It looks like Seeking Alpha is taking a page from my playbook, Barry, when I look at these five-year performance numbers on stocks. Over the last 5 years, Dillard's, which is kind of the last man standing, Macy's continues to get whittled away to almost nothing. Dillard's is still standing. We have a Dillard's here in Charleston. The five-year average return on Dillard's is 76% per year. Can you believe that?
Yeah, I can't wait to tell my mom this. We have a running joke probably for 20 years now at where I grew up. The old mall, right? And it turned into everything from. First, of course, they build the gym in there, right? And then you had eventually there's some medical offices, and there was one Dillard's. And it was
one
like
Dillard's.
It was the last anchor department store of the place. It used to be a JCPenney's, yep. Sears, and Dillard's, which was Gafers first before that. And the joke was that my mom was the one that kept Dillard's open right down the road. And so I got to send her this report when it says that Dillard's
she should have invested in it.
NVIDIA for the last 5 years.
It's up 57.5% year to date. And you ask why we don't own it. Well, you know what? The valuation, I need 80% or more value, and I've always seen it around 60 or so. It seems to be the last. It's definitely the last man standing here in Charleston. Belk is traded.
She should have bought. She should have bought some stock instead of a blouse. You know.
Yes, the blouse has gone down in value. I can tell you that. And the stock has averaged 56%, 76% per year over the last 5 years. It gets a performance grade of A. The problem is the valuation on it. Okay, we'll be right back. And a lot of top picks coming out right now from firms Let's look at a few. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, this is top pick time, a period of time, December, a lot of the firms starting to line up, putting their chips on the table for 2026.
2026 outlook.
Yes, and here's some of our top picks. So I want to go back to Dillard's just for a minute. Okay, so the performance has been sensational, no question about that. When I look at the five-year valuation, I come up with an F valuation grade. It has, you know, upside potential of like 45%. But, okay, you can see that, you know, I give equal weight to the performance and to the valuation. And even with such a poor valuation on the shares, Dillard's is ranked right now at number 434 out of 5,200. And I'm looking back 18 months ago, and Dillard's was ranked at, let's see, I just saw that. It was ranked pretty high. For, you know, kind of, it was ranked number 294 18 months ago, and it's had significant performance since then. But that's how, you know, the weighting works out. It currently gets a grade of B+. It's a weak buy, and it's ranked number 424 out of 5,179. Usually when you have an F valuation grade, you know, you're not ranked very well. But if you've got performance like that, that really lifts your overall ranking. Okay, now let's take a look at some of these picks that are starting to come out from some of these Wall Street firms. Let's begin with Jefferies. Okay, Jefferies had a little bit of an issue. They had a big... they had a lot of exposure to that auto parts stock that went bankrupt, and that impacted them somewhat earlier this year. And one of their top picks, a couple of their top picks that they're putting out there right now, and this one gets a lot of press. They like Zscaler a lot, ZS, which is a San Jose company. And I'm looking at coming back to San Jose probably sometime in March. Okay, we really enjoyed our visit there.
It was great.
And we're looking forward to that again, March time frame. That's the rainy season in California, usually March and April. But that's about, I think, where I'm aiming. And I'm looking at the first trip in 2025. 26 being to Houston. We're trying to identify an area there which would be convenient for everybody, where events like we want to hold, a workshop, 2 days of meetings, you know, and all the other cities we've been to, we kind of know where the right spot to be is. And if you've got some ideas on where we should hold our event in Houston.
And we know the traffic can get rough in Houston, so yeah, that's why we're looking for a spot that might be make sense for a lot of folks.
But usually, you know, we show up on a Tuesday, on a Monday, and on Tuesday and Wednesday we meet with folks, 1 hour meetings, and then on Tuesday evening or Wednesday evening, whichever one works out, I do a 2 hour, 1.5 hour plus questions workshop on the market. So Houston, and then probably next to San Jose, and then of course we always go back to Sarasota, which is we have a large following down there. Okay, let's look at some of these stocks, and Zscaler isn't Palo Alto. I was just looking at Zscaler. Number one, and they seem to really like Zscaler. They say it's seen as the best positioned in the secure access service edge space, and will benefit as customers move to the cloud. Okay, well, you know what? Look, I use the app. I'm a guy that eats my own cooking. It's my recipe, after all, the app. And I rely on the app as much as possible, and then the charts also. Zscaler has had not a very good track record at all. I mean, Dillard's has blown it away. That's not saying much. But Zscaler over the last 5 years, we had 76% per year for Dillard's. Of course, that's looking in the rearview mirror. The performance on Zscaler over the last 5 years is 4.9%. 4.9%. And so far this year, Zscaler is not up very much. Well, it's up 27.7. It's having one of its best years in a long time. The valuation is good. So here's a situation where you've got like an A valuation, but the performance grade is not very good. And so Zscaler gets an overall rank of 3,168 out of 5,179. I have it as a weak sell, which isn't very good. And the chart looks lousy. Okay. Other than that, you know, it would not be in one of my top picks. But, you know, look, this is what makes it a market. They also like Okta a lot, which is kind of a second-tier, I'm going to say, software stock, also headquartered there in the Silicon Valley area. It's another secure connection company like Palo Alto Networks, etc. Okta has been just kind of a low double-digit grower in earnings, which is not very good for a software company. Okta over the last 5 years, let's put it up against Dillard's, the king of the mall right now. Dillard's has delivered 76% per year over the last 5 years. Okta is minus 19%. Ouch. And over the last 12 months, I think Jefferies must lean towards the value side of the equation and kind of look the other way on the performance. I like both to be there in a stock. Okta's valuation is not all that great either right now. My valuation on Okta. Now, see, it is the app is so valuable to me. You know, as I got into the market, I was always looking at people's top ideas because I put a lot of weight. I figured these guys are professionals. They know what they're doing. They know a lot more about it than I do. The valuation does look pretty good on Okta, but the performance is terrible, which, you know, that for me eliminates it from consideration. And the chart is very, very dull. So there you go. There's a couple ideas out there. You look them up yourself. Not only can you look up picks from other firms, you can look up picks from yourself. You can look up the stocks that are currently in your portfolio in the app to see how they measure up. And I always ask myself, wow, I've got 25 parking spots in my garage for my classic car collection, or 25 spots on my roster to begin the new baseball season in 2026. Do I want to take up one of those spots with the stock like Zscaler or Okta? And, you know, the app steers me away from both of those stocks anyways. Okay, let's take a look at some others here.
That's kind of, you know, sometimes in the financial planning world, right? It's like, you know, some of the things we do for clients is help them not make mistakes, right?
Yeah.
And that's kind of the app. I mean, it's, you know, I kind of use that as a, you know, at a minimum, it's lick your finger and figure out the way the wind direction's going,
yep.
right? And then
yep.
take it from there. Does it warrant more? Does it yep. warrant more research, or is it not going to take up any
now,
more of my time?
These sound a lot better to me. Bank of America, of course, they're just picking amongst the chip stocks, which is still the number one sector out there. It's the best sector in the market. It's not the software. It's not the hardware. Computer memory's pretty good. The chip stocks are still the number one sector in the market, at least for now. They like NVIDIA, Broadcom, and Lam Research. I'm just fine with all three of those. They also favor KLA Corp, Analog Devices, Cadence, Credo. I'm totally on board with and I also like AMD. So I'm totally on board with Merrill Lynch, which is also Bank of America.
At least the chip sector names, right?
Yes, at least the chips. I mean, when you're beginning with a good sector, okay, if you were to say, what's your five top picks in the oil sector this year, I'd say none of the above. I don't have one. And at this point in time, there is a couple that EFXT, for instance, looks pretty good from the charts. But it's hard to find a winner in a bad sector. It's a lot easier to find winners in one of the best sectors. Okay, when we come back, we'll talk about Morgan Stanley, one of their top picks. We'll be right back. You got to go. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, you know, I just remind everybody, too, that the whole outlook on the market for 2026 and top picks and all this and that, I mean, you have to begin with the market itself. Because if, you know, if the economy is going in the tank and layoffs are mounting, you're not going to have a very good market in 2026, but that is not the case right now. The earnings picture still looks very favorable. Earnings have been going up since 2009, which is unprecedented, other than the COVID year and maybe one other year along the way that was flattish with the previous year. Other than that, you're going to see record earnings this year. We're forecasting record earnings next year and for 2027. The question is, how much are we going to pay for those earnings and book value and sales and cash flow? And right now the valuations are very, very stretched, but it does begin with the macro outlook on the market. I would say, you know, one of the things I hear from other, let's just say you're invested with the big firm out there, money management firm like Gunderson. One of the complaints I hear is, you know, they believe in being fully invested all the time. And that's not my belief. I believe in having...
Simple as that, right?
No, it just isn't. And not especially in equities or bonds, or there's nothing that's sacred. Now, that's the Vanguard, that's the, you know, the John Bogle, the Bogleheads index, and there's something to be said for that. When I got into the market 25 years ago, the Dow was at like 4,000. Now it's at 48,000. There's something to be said for that. But there's been some big hits along the way, and it depends on when you retire. If you retired in 2008 and you stayed fully invested and we went into a recession, we went into a bear market, and you lost 53% of your retirement. So I think a lot of it depends on where you're at and what stage of your life you're in. If you're still, if you're not in the accumulation stage and not working anymore, I don't think it's wise to just say, yeah, you should continue to be fully invested in the market. So then the alternative to that, obviously, is the 60-40. Well, you know, you need to scale it back. But then there's times when I don't want to have any exposure to the bond market unless I own individual bonds. When they're talking 60-40, that 40 is almost always made up of bond funds. And if you're retired and you're 70, then you're 30-70, 70% in bond funds. And in a rising interest rate environment, when the Fed's going on the war path like 2022, you don't want to have any exposure. You want to get out of the way of the Fed. And if anything, you want to go opposite, inverse the Fed. And don't forget, if we start going to a recession, there's always that inverse the S&P 500 option now in today's world. Not with all of your money, but certainly to maybe protect. Maybe you have
hedge
large
you
gains
have, right?
or hedge what
yeah.
you have. I think it's a tactical thing, and it varies from year to year. And it's based on much, 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 much more than just your age.
I still like to love the way you didn't incorporate any real inverse exposure during the tariff tantrum, because
no.
that was a different environment. You had a very fast 20% pullback, and you know you could have a press conference at any point in time that could push the market up, and of course. If you've got inverse, that just creates more volatility while you're trying to reduce volatility.
Yes, so you have to.
You had to hold more cash then.
You have to wait for a structural change,
right.
and that's going to revolve around earnings. It's the big E. When I grew up, the San Diego Rockets were in San Diego. They weren't in Houston. And the Big E, Elvin Hayes, one of the great players of all time in the NBA, they call them the Big E. And in the market, it's the Big E. It's all about earnings. And as long as earnings continue to go up, the market's going to follow. It's going to contract from time to time. It's going to expand from time to time. And that's going to be a product of the multiple that those earnings trade at. And, so that's all part of it. And as we go into 2026, I'm putting out my macro outlook just like everybody else is on a weekly basis. I think we called it right. I'll have to look and see what my macro, what my target price was back in. I'll go back 1 year ago today. I'll report back in the newsletter today. I probably was a little bit under where we're at. We're at 6,800, but I will go back and look and see what I predicted and see how close we came. I think I was pretty right. I mean, I was definitely bullish to begin the year 2025, and that was the right thing to be.
Well, if this influences your palatable multiple when you're projecting for 2026, like you said, we've got a 25% chance currently of a 25 basis point cut in the January meeting. We still got a long ways to go
before that's not very good.
That's the stats at the moment. So,
and we still will have Jerome Powell as our Fed chairman until I think March or April. Okay, a few other picks here. Kathy Woods doubles down on the crypto-related stocks, Bitmine. She's also doubling down on CoreWeave. I'm not a fan. She's doubling down on Coinbase, Circle Internet Group, Block, which is the old Square. It's been a terrible stock, Block has. That's Jack Dorsey's other stock. He used to own Twitter. She's also bullish on Bullish, which is another crypto stock. So she's doubling down on crypto right now in several of her funds. I'm not a fan. We differ on that. Okay, well, we are out of time. There's one last one. Estee Lauder over at Bank of America. That's their top beauty stock for 2026. Yeah, you know what? We'll see.
My grandma up in heaven appreciates Estee Lauder reference.
Yes.
I promise you that. She loves it.
Used a lot of it.
Every time I see Estee Lauder, that's what I think.
Yeah,
granny aunt's up there.
All right. Well, this is a good time to be getting the newsletter. We talk about our picks every week in the newsletter and the macro outlook. And you have to consider both of those, okay? In a bear market, you're not going to find many winners. So, to get four free weeks, GundersonCapital.com to set up an appointment with us to get a little bit more tactical approach to the markets than some of the others out there. Call us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, and set up an appointment. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.